This is Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5, the most comprehensive racing report on the radio. From the dirt to the dragway, from karts to NASCAR, if it's racing, it's covered. Here's our host, racetrack announcer and race car driver Kane, with a Full Throttle Racing report.
And good morning and happy race day, everyone. This is the Snowball Derby preview show. It's as simple as that. It's all about the Snowball Derby today, and it's going to be a huge show. We've got Tim Bryant standing by with Five Flag Speedway, and he's got lots to talk about, testing going on, and of course, all the fun stuff going on. And hang on, how about Mobile, Alabama's Cale Gayle, NASCAR Camping World Truck Series Homestead Miami winner. He's scheduled to be on the show this morning. Also, this is exciting, Logan Boyette, who's actually going to be testing his number 11 Super Late model today at Five Flag Speedway. Planning on being on, so we'll have to talk with him as well and see what's happening. But first, let's go ahead and bring in Tim Bryant. And Tim, I tell you, it's a busy start. You're already heading to the track. Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Kane.
Well, this is exciting. Again, we're thrilled to have you here. And let me ask you, what has it been like, all the buildup? Obviously, everyone's talking. All the race teams are on Facebook and, all over the nation, getting ready for this huge event. We had Ralph Shaheen on last weekend, and he was saying from Phoenix all the way up to the last race at Homestead, everybody in the pits in NASCAR is talking about your race, Tim. So that's got to be just exciting.
Well, it's really exciting, and there's a good buzz in the air here in Pensacola, and of course, that's testament, I think, more than anything to the competition, excuse me, that this event has become to be known for. And guys are testing, as you said. We had a busy day yesterday. We got a full schedule this weekend. Monday, final day scheduled for testing. Tuesday's a quiet day. We're going to do our final track prep work. And then, of course, Wednesday, 9 a.m., we'll start rolling those haulers into the infield, getting ready for the green flag party on Wednesday night that kicks it all off.
Yeah, and let's talk about that. You've got Cat Country, a big country station over in Pensacola, bringing in Stephanie Quayle, who's an artist from Nashville. Talk about what this party in the pits is all about. You've teamed up with Red Bull. You've got autographs. What is this all about? This is really the official kickoff to the big week, isn't it?
Well, it really is, and it kind of grows every year. This year, Stephanie Quayle will be performing live on the stage right there in Victory Lane. We'll be doing our Red Bull qualifying draw, which is a lot of race fans have come to know. Just the simple qualifying order is vitally important in both the Alan Turner Snowflake 100 and the Snowball Derby. We'll be drawing for those qualifying orders on stage. Bob Dillner will be hosting that. That'll take place Wednesday night. A lot of the drivers just milling around. It's a nice atmosphere. Fans welcome to get autographs. Also, it's a chili for charity. Our friends from Print Now here in Pensacola will be cooking up chili, and 100% of the proceeds are selling for $3 a bowl, and 100% of the proceeds goes to the Santa Rosa Kids House, which is a great cause here in our area.
Well, so once again, not only are you preparing for the big race, but you're also helping people at the same time. Let me ask you, for first-time snowball derbyers, what do we have to prepare for as a fan coming to the track? Long lines, obviously, but you got to understand, if you've never been to this race, it is like a NASCAR race, from the size to the traffic to the excitement.
Well, we do our best each year to try to tweak it a little bit, to streamline things as best we can. We have a portion of our parking lot, once again, we donated, actually, to the Hajjai Shriners, and they did reserve parking about a half of our parking lot, I guess I might say. Yeah. Unfortunately, I think that is sold out.
So, I wouldn't doubt it.
We do have a limited amount of free parking available, so that's simply a first-come, first-served basis. But we have a satellite lot a mile north of the Speedway, a mile south of the Speedway, with a shuttle service running back and forth, and a lot of folks have come to like that even better. It's just, a little easier in, a little easier out, you might say. When you get to the track, so many people have bought tickets in advance. Mm-hmm. There's not terribly long lines at the gates. We do still have some reserve seats left, so there is a ticket window for that. But once again, we try to employ enough people to keep the lines from being, disastrous. Mm-hmm. And we've got some great vendors that's going to be on our fan zone area this year. There'll be a lot of great giveaways and things to sign up for. milling around in between practice sessions and in between the racing activity is what people have come to do at the Snowball Derby. So once again, it all just adds to a very festive atmosphere.
Well, you know, I know people that will, like I've said before on the show, schedule their vacations around here, not just from Mobile, the Pensacola area, but people from out of state that want to come just for this. I mean, oh, Christmas with the family? No, we're going to the Snowball. I mean, it's that big of a deal. And you look at some of the drivers, and I know you've been talking about testing. Can you give us some names? I know Garvey was testing. I don't know if Augie's been testing. Pollard's going to be there. Logan Boyette, who will be on the show shortly, he's heading over to the track this morning as well. What have you seen with the testing? What are these guys telling you, if anything?
Well, the track is really fast. Good. And Mike Garvey did lay down some really good laps. Excuse me.
That's all right. Tis the season.
Mason Mingus was there yesterday. Yeah. Also, we were really happy with their car. By the way, Brandon McReynolds tested about a month ago and was laying down some laps in the high 16s. Wow. By the way, that's an Alan Turner Snowflake 100 car. So
wow.
The track is really fast, and it likes cool weather. So I think the fans can come to expect some good speeds and some possible track records. Speaking of which, the pole position award, our friends over at WXPM, longtime pole position sponsor, $1,000 cash to the pole for the Snowball Derby. And Hamner Racing Engines has kicked in another $750. So a pretty good prize for a two-lap run. And of course, Friday night, 6 p.m., Snowball Derby pole position qualifying is among the most dramatic qualifying sessions. We say shy of the Indy 500.
And I've been to both, and you're absolutely right, because you've got just every driver that's been on the track, and if they're close, just watching that pylon. And they're not watching the track. They're seeing that time. And there's, like I said, if you've never been to this race, there's such an electricity. I'm excited to be a part of it just as a driver. Granted, it's just the bomber division, but like you've said on the air, you can't say just bombers, because this is our Snowball Derby as well.
Oh, no doubt about it, and we can't emphasize that enough. It all kicks off on Thursday night, and whoever wins the 30-lap Butler You Pull Up Bomber feature will be a Snowball Derby winner. So the local divisions, Bomber, Sportsman, Super Stock, and Open Wheel Modifieds are very important to this whole program and to the success of the Snowball Derby.
Right. So Thursday, you'll have the Bombers and Sportsmen. Friday, one of my favorite days, and I tell you, I love the Super Stocks, but if you have never been on a Friday night to the Snowball Derby with those Open Wheel Modifieds, how many do you start?
32 cars will start the race. You know, we anticipate probably 40 plus cars entered in the modified race. We've already had some testing. Jeff Letson, a former winner, was testing yesterday at Pensacola, testing his modified. John Sappercone from Bradenton was up last week. These guys take that race very, very seriously.
Oh yeah. Now and then Saturday, let's go through the schedule if you don't mind. What is the schedule, the timing, and everything there?
On Saturday, it's a great day. Final practice rounds for both Snowball and Snowflake cars. Of course, at that point, we'll have 30 cars locked into Sunday's race.
Right.
But the rest of them, probably another 30, will be getting ready for a 50-lap last chance qualifying race to take place 4 p.m. on Saturday afternoon. At 2 o'clock, backing up to 2 o'clock, is when Alan Turner Snowflake 100 qualifying takes place. And then, of course, we'll have a last chance race for that group after the Snowball last chance race, a pair of 50-lappers, so 100 laps of racing on Saturday afternoon, and then, of course, all leading up to Saturday night, 7 p.m. start for the Alan Turner Snowflake 100 in its 15th year, actually.
Oh, wow. And then, of course, Sunday, it all begins early. You want to get to the track early. Tell us about the whole entire day there as well, as far as times.
Well, gates open at 9 a.m. on Sunday, 10:30, Eddie Barton, a guy from Georgia that we've become very fond of, has a ministry service there in Georgia. We'll be doing a church service at 10:30 a.m. Pre-race festivities actually get started around noon, and we've got a lot of folks coming in for this race. We've got some... found out this week we've got some track operators from Spokane, Washington, Evergreen Speedway, a very famous track on the West Coast.
Yeah.
And those folks are coming to the Snowball Derby to see what it's all about. So we'll try to recognize those folks and dignitaries, what have you. 1:15, the all-important driver introduction. About 1 o'clock, we'll be doing that class photo that has become popular, and it all leads up to a 2 o'clock start for the Snowball Derby.
And you just can't pick a winner. There's so much excitement. You talk about past champions like Chase Elliott, who will be there, Johanna Long, Kyle Busch, obviously. I mean, and you've got all this just whirlwinding at your track. How do you handle it as a promoter? This is your busiest time of the year. I mean, this is what gets you through the rest of the year. So this is a big time for you guys. Is it overwhelming for you, Tim? I mean, really?
Well, I tell you, our staff takes a huge amount of responsibility in trying to make sure that everybody has a good experience. Obviously, everyone's not going to have a great experience, but you know, we're doing everything we can to ensure that. We don't take it lightly. We're preparing hard, and we'll know when we open the gates on Wednesday, and of course, officially on Thursday, that we'll have done everything that we can do to try to get this event organized. We have a great staff of people. All our officials we're so proud of, and from the ticket takers to the concession workers to race control and the tech station, everybody works really hard, and everybody has a sense of pride about the event. And I really enjoy the question, Kane, that you threw in about picking a favorite, because that literally is impossible.
It is.
I mean, out of the 60-plus cars entered in the Snowball Derby, I promise you, there's 40 of those guys that are planning on winning that race.
And
not just coming to run. They're planning on winning that thing.
And do what it takes, because I've seen it.
Well, and you know what? You got to make a call out to DJ Vanderlei, who came so close, led the white flag lap last year. This year is in his own VDL Fuel Systems, family-owned, #2, the seat that he is the most comfortable in, and he's testing today. So they're trying to get on track to try to get one step ahead of where they were a year ago.
Well, the Speedway had a major announcement this week as well, and I've got to congratulate you here. I know you're getting ready to go, and we'll let you go here in a minute, but NASCAR K&N Pro Series is back, or actually for the first time on the Gulf Coast, April 12th and 13th. You've got TV coverage. Congratulations. That's a huge event.
Well, it's something we've been working on for a while, and of course, we think our fans along the Gulf Coast here, deserve to see a lot of different things. We're actually opening the season on March 22nd with the must-see Extreme Sprint Car Series. That'll be a doubleheader, both here at Pensacola and Mobile. We've got some changes in store for the Gulf Coast Championship races next year. We're going to be talking about that a little bit next weekend at the Snowball. But the NASCAR K&N Pro Series is going to be an awesome event, and we're really looking forward to that.
There's so much great racing along the Gulf Coast with MIS and the ARCA race, and that there's just no reason as a race fan why you're not going to these. So I want to get tickets to the Snowball Derby before it starts. How do I do it, Tim?
Well, we're still taking ticket orders over the phone. Simply call the Speedway, after that, we'll have a box office open upon arrival, and we'll be selling reserve seats right on up until the time there aren't any left. Are we anticipating a sellout? It looks like we're probably going to be as close as we've ever been, but not to discourage anybody from coming. There are still good seats left. Of course, general admission seating on Sunday is good as well when all those big, tall haulers are out of the infield.
Yeah, and you can see everything. It's awesome. Well, Tim, I know you got a busy day of testing. I can't wait to load up the #5. We're going to be down there Thursday for sure and all weekend long. We appreciate all that you've done for the show this year and obviously continuing into next year. So, Tim, I know you've got a lot of stuff to take care of, and I can't wait to see you with our race team down there this week.
Well, once again, I want to reciprocate, say the same to you for your Saturday morning show. I know a lot of the racers and race fans look forward to it each and every week, and it's been a big boost for Gulf Coast Racing.
Well, thank you, man, and the check's in the mail. Hey, Tim, have a great day, my friend.
We'll see you Thursday.
I guarantee it. Again, Tim Bryan, he's getting ready for a busy day of testing out there, and one of the drivers is heading out there. He's been texting me. I'm ready. Let's do this radio thing. Logan Boyette, you're next, my friend. He's going to talk about his year. And let me tell you about Logan, the 2010 Viper Series champion. He's got two poles this year. We're going to talk about some of the people helping him on his ride and what he thinks is going to happen at the Snowball Derby this year. Hang on. We've got more racing to continue right here on FM Talk 106.5.
Thank you.
Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. And again, we're going to podcast the show later today at usfdracing.org. That's United States Fire Department Racing. Again, Hurricane Motorsports, and this radio show is teamed up with those guys. And what we do is we race throughout the year all over the country. We have several drivers on the team that bring awareness to volunteer fire departments. Whether they have cook-offs or they're raising money, we bring out the cars, try to get just the public involved. You know, without these volunteers, a lot of them that work at the race track, well, it'd be a different world, that's for sure. Talking racing, and I tell you, one of my favorites, the guy is an amazing talent, young kid, knows what to do, and has won many races, got lots of poles, and he's probably one of my picks this year for the Snowball Derby. Got to say good morning to Logan Boyette, traveling around in Pensacola. Good morning, brother.
Hey, man, how's it going? Good morning.
Hey, welcome to the show, man. We've had you on every time around the Snowball Derby, and this year is no exception. You've had a pretty good year so far. In March and in May, you've got poles. You started off, it was actually a pretty good race this year, March, the 36th Annual Rattler, 250. You grabbed the pole, finished 10th, and then also grabbed the pole in May at the Blizzard Series race in Pensacola. So you've got a fast car, and let me ask you, what kind of preparation as a driver and a team like you guys have you had to do and get ready, not for testing? I know we talked about you testing today, but actually, I apologize. You'll test tomorrow at the track.
That's right. You just have to, you know, it's just like any other race. Mm-hmm. It's how you have to try to keep your mind set so you don't get too worked up.
That's a hard thing to do with 300 laps at that race, isn't it, and on that track?
It's the snowball that brings its own pressure. I mean, it brings an inevitable feeling. I've tried to stay calm about it. I get a little bit nervous. Just, I mean, you watch it your whole life, and you know what happens.
Yeah. Do you want to, I mean, with five laps to go in the race, do you want to be leading or do you want to be second?
I honestly don't know. I mean, you know, as soon as you say you've got a comfort zone, you'll have a caution. So,
yeah.
I mean, I would definitely love to be in the top three, you know, and it's hard to say because I've seen it go any way, and it's a snowball. You know, you do different things than you would on a normal race far as what you would do at the end of the race.
Well, let me ask you, what kind of preparations differently than a regular race do you do for the Snowball Derby? I mean, I know the cost is outrageous. I mean, just for tires, I know some teams spend $8,000 to $10,000 just on tires for this race. That's unreal.
Oh yeah, I mean, we already have three sticker sets for practicing, and we'll have four bought during the race.
Wow.
Hopefully, we won't have to buy any more during, you know, the other practice, but the main preparation for this is if you've got a pretty good long-run car, most of the time during the Derby, you'll end up going a little ways without a caution, but the chances of going over 100 laps or even 100 laps, 75 laps without a caution in the Derby are slim.
Yeah, you look at all the other 100-lappers we had this year at the track, and it's not going to happen, is it?
No, and, you know, we ran the first race this year, I believe, or it was the first, no, it was last year, actually, that we ran a whole 100 laps green.
Wow. See, but, yeah.
And last year in the Derby, they had a few long green runs, and the year before that.
But you probably do you expect to see that this year? I mean, or what do you? I mean, you've got all these names coming. You've got all the local guys that always do a great job, but you've got the national guys again. And what's that like being out there racing against Kyle Busch and some of the other big names like that?
I'm about as ready as I'm going to be for them, and you know it'll just be like anybody else.
Yeah, just be out there.
It's good whenever they can come back down here, you know, come back down to the little guys and race with us.
Yeah,
and come back down the level. You know what I mean? And come out here and support our local race and support our short track.
Well, and
that's what that does for our sport, is it supports our short track even more.
And honestly, without the short track racing, you don't make it to the next level. You know, I saw something inside. First of all, let me ask you, the number 11, you've been running that forever. How did you come up with the number?
You know, I really don't remember for sure. I think I've asked Mom and Dad before, but I've had it since I was 4 years old.
You started in karts, didn't you, Logan?
I did.
Okay, tell us about how you got to where you're at now.
Well, you know, first off, thanks to God, my mom and dad and sister, my fiance, crew, all of my fans. I have to thank Boyette and Bill's RV Service, Grand American Race Cars, Pope Electric, TJ Racing Oil, AR Bodies, Dubs Thermal Products, Racing Radios, ISP Seats, BK Graphics, Ronnie Sanders Racing, Leachman Barnes Motorsports, Wholesale Optical, SC Stagner Construction, and I'm sure, you know, there's many more. There's a ton of people.
There's more people than that,
you know, that have made my whole entire racing, you know, racing career, so to say.
Well, Logan, how old are you, Logan?
I'm 22.
Okay, you're 22. Where do you want to take it? Are you happy where you're at now? Or if you win the Snowball Derby, obviously that opens up other doors. What do you see yourself doing? I mean, are you wanting to take this to the next level?
I would love to, you know, I would love to go up another level. I would love to try an ARCA race or a K&N race. Or
you got your chance now.
obviously a truck race, to start with. You always want to take it to the next level. Just, you know,
keep testing.
I want to drive a dirt late model just to see if I can do it. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm not going to turn down any opportunities, that's for sure.
Sure. Well, you know, I see inside your number 11, you've got two important things in the car. You've got the racer's prayer, and then you have your fiance's name, Jocelyn, on there. What do both those mean to you?
Don't take this the wrong way by correcting it.
But, oh, okay, go ahead. Yeah.
And the most important thing in there is my older sister's name.
Your older sister's name? Why is that?
Excuse me.
Oh, that's okay. It's okay.
Well, she passed away in 2006.
Right.
And she's been in every car since then.
So. That's awesome. So that's great. I didn't see that in the picture, so I can understand that. So you do whatever you can, A, for your family, and B, just to motivate you, and that obviously does it, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, let me ask you about a race in September at Mobile International Speedway. Several drivers were involved in an open lap accident. And including you, and you got involved by none of your fault at all. You were at the wrong place at the wrong time. It was the same night, different race, that Gerald Wilkerson broke his back, his leg, his neck, and things like that. So tell me, on the opening lap of this race at MIS, what happened?
You know, everybody's on low air pressure, and cars jump around a little bit more, and I jumped around and barely got into somebody. You know, I'm quite certain I didn't even leave a donut on the car, and we got up on the straightaway, and I'll just go ahead and say we kind of met in the middle, and I ended up getting spun out in front of the whole field. And that, I mean, it's racing, but it's just unfortunate, and I knew I wasn't going to get passed up by the whole field. I knew somebody was going to catch me.
So you knew that you were going to get clobbered when you're sideways. I hate that feeling.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, when the left front tire is pointed back at the start-finish line and you're already past it, and then you get hit in the door, it's not good. That's the hardest. That's the hardest I can ever recall being hit.
Wow. But what has been one of your favorite memories of all the racing you've done, Logan? Obviously, you've got a lot of special memories with the 2010 Viper Series, being a champion up there at Op. But you've got so many other wins, too. Is there one that sticks out more than the other? Is there one? What's your proudest moment of racing so far? Besides being on the show now. No, I'm just kidding.
Right, right. Well, you know, excuse me.
That's all right.
It's hard to say the one of the proudest moment, because you always take so much pride in all of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and you have to. You really do have to. I've got, you know, so many go kart races, and I've seen an interview a while back with Landon Castle and Brian Vickers, I believe it was, and they said what percentage of races might you remember, and this is maybe 10% to 20%.
Wow.
But I'd have to say my first win at Five Flags in 2007, and like you said, that Viper Series win and that championship.
It's a nice trophy, isn't it?
I've got some other championships and go-karts and everything else, and all that means a lot to me. It's just all all of it has made me what I am now.
Well, and your family has a huge part of your racing career, doesn't it? Tell us about Dad and everyone else that helps you out, and who's your crew chief and what has he done for you this year?
Our newest addition is Mr. Ronnie Sanders,
yeah.
And our car chief here, that he does all the work at the shop with me or for me, however you want to say it. Mm-hmm. I couldn't do it without him at all.
Right.
That's Billy Peavy. And like you said, my mom and dad and everybody just makes it possible. All my guys are just some friends. Nobody gets paid to do it. They're all volunteer help, and that's the biggest part of it. I could not do any of this without everybody.
Yeah, and that's what it is with our racing team as well. Whether you're running a bomber or a late model, it's all on who you surround yourself with, and you know, the caliber of folks that you are is going to show what kind of caliber driver you are on the track. So, and I've always loved you to death. I think you and Jocelyn are a great fit into the racing community, and I hope you have a great test tomorrow. And I know this is a big event for you, just as it is for our race team. So obviously, can't wait to see you hang out at the track, and want to wish you the best of luck. What is the most nervous part of this? Is it the qualifying? Is it the racing itself? Is it just the build-up until you get into the car? What is the worst part of the Snowball Derby, man?
this year, I'm sure I'll find that to be the qualifying. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, we were able to finish. I don't know how we did it. I mean, we didn't finish four races, but we finished fourth in the point.
Loving it.
Overall in the Gulf Coast Championship, and we finished fourth in the Blizzard Series, mm-hmm. and fifth in the Miller Lite Series. But that fourth place in points is a good thing to have to fall back on.
Yeah, because that's...
Of course, I want to make it in on time, but it's going to be hard to do.
So even with the top equipment that you have, and where are the cars at? Where's the shop at?
Our shop is about 5 minutes from the racetrack.
So that's convenient, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. We'll actually have our backup car sitting ready to go. All it's going to have to do is have shocks put on it and have it sit on the scales.
Oh, see, that's good. Hopefully we won't need that, though, Logan. So,
no.
Well,
no,
man,
no, I hope not.
I know you've got a lot to do. We're going to try to get Cale Gale on. I don't know if he's going to make it on or not. We've been texting back and forth, so he's got a busy day today. We're going to try to get him on next. Logan, I wish you the best of luck, and again, we can't wait to see you. Thank you for coming on. Good luck on your test tomorrow, and we'll definitely see you at the track.
Yeah, man, y'all make sure you can come on and hang out with us again.
Oh, I guarantee it.
All right, man. Thank you so much, Ken.
Oh, absolutely. Logan Boyette there wrapping up his part of the show, and it's all about Five Flag Speedway today. Let me tell you, lots to still come. Hang on. We're going to try to get Cale Gale back on the phone next. Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. And I hate to tell you, everybody that tuned in for Cale, I think he's getting his beauty sleep. We couldn't get him up this morning. So I promise you, Cale Gale will be on the show next Saturday. We've already worked it out. So what we want to do, a lot of people did not get to hear last weekend's show. I want to give you a little piece of what we had from last weekend with Ralph Shaheen. A great interview talking a little bit about the upcoming NASCAR race, which was last weekend. But still, Ralph has some great things to say. So this is an encore presentation of last week's Ralph Shaheen interview. Oh, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5. Now, remember, we're going to podcast the show later today on the race team's website. It's usfdracing.org, United States Fire Department Racing. We have teamed up with them this year to kind of raise awareness for the volunteer fire departments all around the country, and we've been able to do some good and raise some money for them. Excited to have this next guest on. He is the voice of AMA on Speed, the co-owner and publisher of National Speed Sport News, and he does so much from the world of outlaws. Let's go through the list really quick. NHRA drag racing, from Grand Prix to NASCAR, Ralph Shaheen with the media, and it's amazing to have him on the show this morning. Ralph, good morning and welcome to the show.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you having me on.
Well, where are you this weekend? There's such a big race weekend. You've got NASCAR, you've got coming up the Formula One race, and there's so much more. Where are you hiding anywhere? Where are you at?
I'm standing in my backyard.
How awesome is that? How'd you pull that off?
Yeah, it's the first weekend in a very, very, very long time that I have had off. And, yeah, I'm standing in my backyard.
Well, that's a beautiful place to be. Let me ask you, I know you're excited. AMA starts up, I want to say, what is it, January 5th? They're going to be in Anaheim. You'll be there for that, won't you?
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, like I say, it's my first weekend off. I don't get many throughout the course of the year, and trust me, I'm not complaining about that. It's just it's very hectic. And this is the one little break I get, as most of the racing series that I tend to cover are off. I wrapped up my last actual race of the year that I called with the World Finals for the World of Outlaws in Charlotte.
Nice.
Now I've got a few banquet things to attend and a couple of convention-type deals like the IMIS show up in Indianapolis, that sort of deal. And then it's, man, we're flat out starting that first weekend in January.
Man.
Supercross goes 17 races in 18 weeks.
Man, so
about the time I get the Christmas lights down, it's time to go.
Wow. That's got to be, as a family man, as a father, that's got to be tough. I mean, to balance that and the career.
You know, it's not as bad as it sounds because, you know, I think you find a routine that works for you and your family no matter what it does.
Yeah.
Look, the days of the Leave It to Beaver type 9-to-5 job are pretty far out the window.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know anybody that does that no matter what career mode you're in.
Yeah.
You got to hustle these days to make a quality living, and everybody's doing that. And I'm just lucky enough that, for me, once I'm working, that's at a racetrack. So, yeah. You know, the family gets it. It also provides some cool opportunities for the kids and the wife to come do some things with me that, you know, might not be able to do if I wasn't working in this profession. So we've found a way to make it work. Unfortunately, I married a race fan and have two kids that are race fans.
Hey, that's part of it. My wife, I said there was racing before you, and there'll be racing after you. So
yeah.
And God bless her, she plays along.
Right, exactly.
Hey, Ralph, you know, you do have some time up, but let's talk about how you got started. You were born in New York. How did you get into the media and where you're at the level of where you're at, Ralph?
Yeah, I was born in upstate New York in Utica, but then I was raised in Northern California.
Mm.
So my racing roots really come from that part of the country. So that meant, you know, sprint cars and motorcycle racing and drag racing. Those were kind of the big things, you know, out there. I didn't really get inundated with stock car racing or anything of that kind until I moved back to Charlotte, which is where I live now. You know, I had a passion for it, always wanted to be a part of it. Nobody in my family competed in it in any way, shape, or form. But I went off to college and started pursuing it. Began as a track PA announcer, working for free and you know, doing that sort of thing and taking classes in college for broadcasting. And one thing leads to another, and you get an opportunity here or there. And hopefully you're lucky enough to get those opportunities and then good enough to keep them once you get them. And that's pretty much how it worked.
Yeah.
And it started to kind of, you know, network and snowball a little bit from there. And then I moved back to Charlotte in January of 1990. And knock on wood, still employed, still going at it. And
that's right.
This, I think I figured out, 2013 is going to be my 25th year on live national TV, believe it or not.
That is amazing. But that's not old, everybody. You listen, that's
No,
you started when you were four.
Right. I was one of those smart kids, went to college when I was six.
Yeah, there you go. Ralph, what has been one of the biggest things that you've seen? My brother, Dustin Long, is on the show a lot. He's done some work with you as well, and you know him.
Good friend.
Yeah, and I enjoy talking with him and talking a little bit about what you've seen in the crowds at some of the tracks, not just NASCAR, but what are you seeing as far as on the backside of it? Because you're there first and you're leaving last as a broadcaster. What kind of crowds are we getting, and what needs to be done to get more people to the tracks? Aren't they doing everything they can?
Well, I mean, if you want to find the kids, come to a Supercross.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's where they're at. There's some kids in the grandstands at NASCAR races and sprint car shows and that sort of thing. But if you really want to find them, if you want to see where they're hanging out and the jerseys that they're buying and the logos that they're wearing, go to a Supercross. Man, that's where they're at. You know, you see the same thing with the off-road stadium truck type stuff, like, you know, the Torque Series and all that kind of stuff. That's what they're into. And I think a big part of that is, you know, when I look back at it, when I was my kid's age, I had three races a year on TV.
Oh, yeah.
I got Talladega, Indianapolis, and Daytona. I got 1,500 miles of racing, and I salivated over every single lap because that's all I was going to get.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you know, my son can sit there and watch racing 24/7, either on TV or on the Internet. So it's got to be really good
to
grab his attention.
Right.
With some of this stuff, like a Supercross, for example, he don't even need to know who's leading or why.
He just wants to watch him take the air, yeah.
Yeah, it's just visually stimulating, you know? So short races, fast, action all the time, in your face, here it comes, there's another one. You like that heat race, here's another one, you know, that sort of thing. And I just don't know if 500 miles works anymore. Now, it's always going to work in Indianapolis.
Oh, sure.
Because it is what it is.
Yeah.
It'll always work at Daytona. I don't know if some of these other races need to, or sanctioning bodies need to rethink how they structure their events to attract this younger audience.
Right, right. Well, you know, one thing that you did, you wrote on your website, RouseShaheen.com, we have a race coming up today. It's a remote control race, and it's for a benefit for a good friend of ours who has, in the final stages, battling cancer. And you have a great...
Thank you for that.
Yeah, and God bless him. Red is an amazing man. But you know what? I tell you, Talladega Speedway and so many people have come together for this auction or raffle. We've got autographs from Tony Stewart, Jeff Gordon, Kevin Harvick, Larry the Cable Guy, Bobby Allison. So we're really trying to raise money. It's at the Hobby Town here in Mobile. But you had a great story about you and your son about these Trax/radio-controlled truck. That's the one I'm racing, by the way. Your article made me go get one. But talk about what you guys had with the experience in that kind of racing, because that's a lot of fun, isn't it?
Oh, they're gas. You know, I mean, that's the cool thing about all the stuff that's out there now. There's so much stuff to do, you know, in so many ways that you can get involved in racing and motorsports on so many different levels. And I got, you know, as a kid, I always, you'd see those radio controlled things, you know, and they look like there'd be a lot of fun, but man, a year's a lot of work and this and the other thing. And, you know, I've never been the hands on kind of guy, you know. If I'm getting the oil changed, I'm going to Jiffy Lube, right?
Yeah, there you go, brother. I got you.
So, you know, I never really started messing with that sort of stuff. But then as with Supercross, all of a sudden Traxxas is out there and a whole bunch of these other companies that are making the modern-day version of these radio-controlled cars. And they look so neat. They made it look like so much fun. And I had a chance to try one, and I got one, and my son, who at the time when we got it was four, even he could do it.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And no problem. I mean, running this thing that's capable of 40, 50 miles an hour all over the yard and jumping stuff, head on into a tree, no big deal. The tree took a bigger hit than the truck did.
Yeah,
you know?
That's awesome.
So all of those vehicles, whichever company you're looking at, man, they're fantastic. And it's a great way to, you know, for fathers and mothers to get out there with their kids and do some stuff and have a good time. And you can take them everywhere with you. So, yeah, I highly recommend checking those things out. You're going to have fun with that today.
Oh, I guarantee it. Ralph, who's going to make a better champion in NASCAR? Is it going to be Brad Keselowski, the man who gets fined for texting and tweeting and his cell phone in the car? Or is it the six-time champion, Jimmy Johnson? And what would be better for NASCAR?
Well, you know, here's what I'm going to tell you about Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
Pay close attention to what you're saying.
Yeah.
Really absorb it. Because
yeah.
you're probably never going to see it again in your lifetime.
That's true.
It's like Michael Jordan, you know. I mean, what we're watching between Jimmy and Chad Knaus on that race team is historical.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really worth paying attention to. I have known Jimmy going all the way back to his Mickey Thompson days when he barely was a teenager. He is a great kid.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great family man. He's a good guy. He's a wonderful champion. And he probably doesn't get all of the credit he deserves for being the driver that he really is. Of course, he's paired up with a fantastic team and a tremendous crew chief, but he's a heck of a wheel man. So absorb all that. You can never go wrong with Jimmy Johnson as your champion.
Well, let me
ask you, Brad Keselowski right now will probably be fantastic for NASCAR as a spokesperson, as a champion.
Younger generation.
Yeah, because of all the things you just mentioned, the Twitter and all that, and the image, and the younger guy, and not that Jimmy's all that old, but, you know, I think Brad will definitely reach out and cross over some of those boundaries, and NASCAR could use that.
Well, I tell you, Ralph, I know you have a very coveted weekend off, so we appreciate you just taking a few minutes to come on the show. And even Tim Bryant, the promoter of Five Flag Speedway with the 45th annual Snowball Derby, you talked to him earlier on the show. He was so excited. He couldn't wait to hear you because he's a big fan of you too, Ralph.
Oh, that's great. Listen, that's a fantastic event down there. And I mean, I wish I could get down and take that in. I've been down and done races at that facility before. Mm. It's a great track, and that's a tremendous event. Boy, if you like short track stock car racing, that's a bucket list event for sure.
Well, I tell you what, we've got three bombers that we race over there. I already told Dillner last year he can have a ride, but you beat him down here, Ralph. I got you covered, brother.
Dude, hey, be careful what you offer.
Hey, we'll take care of it. Ralph, I appreciate you coming on board. Enjoy that fun weekend away, and maybe down the road we'd love to try to get you back on the show.
Anytime. Tell your brother Dustin I said hello.
Hey, welcome back to the show. It's Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106. And I tell you, we've only got like 4 or 5 minutes left, but I'm going to jam it full. We tried to get Kale Gale on the phone, and hey, he called. Good morning, brother. How are you?
Pretty good. Just at Concord Motorsports Park here for the Mason-Dixon Meltdown for a pass race today.
Oh, man. And so you've already been busy working, so I apologize. I was blowing your phone up. First of all, I know we only have a few minutes, and I'll get an interview with you down there at the Snowball Derby for sure, but congratulations on your win with a great win with Kyle Busch, your first ever trip to Homestead, and you did it in style. Are you still living on cloud nine, my friend?
Well, you know, it's another race for us, and obviously to win my first NASCAR Camp and World Truck Series race is obviously a dream come true, and you know, it's just a testament to what hard work can do for you and all the people and support I've had behind me throughout my career. And it's been awesome. I mean, honestly, all year I had a lot of fun. We ran good at times, and we're in position to win a couple of races and wasn't able to close the deal. But the other night for the final race, we were in position and we were able to take advantage of it and come out on top. And like I said, just definitely a dream come true for myself and obviously all the people behind me through the years.
Well, your relationship with crew chief Jerry Baxter has really come full circle this year. You guys have really gelled, and you can tell by the performance. Has that been a big key to your success at the end of the season?
It has, you know, and both of us, you know, learning the trucks and stuff and how they race this year. And obviously, Jerry figuring out what I need behind the wheel during the races and stuff like that. And just this combination of things just take a little time. And with obviously with the truck series, is a little shorter schedule than most with only 22 races. And, you know, we really did. We come on strong the last 10 races and really, really ran well. And like I said, to win the final race in our Ream Chevrolet was just awesome to end the season.
I jumped out of my couch screaming and almost peed myself when I saw you go against old Busch like that. I was so excited for you. What was coming through your mind? You're coming out of turn four. Busch is on the outside. You see the checkers waving. And I swear to God, I saw Kyle kind of come into you a little bit. And I can see you, in my mind, turning your wheel all the way to the right and just jamming it. Is that what you did?
Well, you know, sometimes a man's got to do what a man's got to do.
My boy.
And, you know, it's, I don't know how many more times I'd get that opportunity to be able to come down to the victory lane in a NASCAR race and to be able to win it. You know, I got the trophy and I can always cherish that and know that I was able to, live out one of my dreams. And like I said, for a very long time, it's been one of my dreams to be able to do what I did last Friday night.
Where's the trophy at?
Actually, I let my car owner Eddie Sharp's got it right now. He's holding it on to it for me for a while here. I'm going to let him cherish it, and we're going to find a good spot to put it in the house there.
Oh, that's good. Now let me ask you: you're getting ready after today. You'll be coming down for the Snowball Derby, but you're not participating as a driver. You're helping it on a team. Tell me what you're going to be doing.
Actually, I really can't. I don't know what I'm going to do yet.
Oh, I got you.
We might be coming down there. I'm not sure. I'm not going to be racing for sure. I may come down there and make the trip, but honestly, kind of race out.
You need a break, don't you?
Yeah. We'll see how everything goes today. We got Brandon Jones here driving the Ream Chevy and got a really good car for today, and there's some tough competition here up here today and 200 lapper and get him some experience and maybe have a chance to visit Victory Lane 2 weeks in a row. That's what we're here to do.
That would be good. And obviously, we will see you back defending ARCA champion in March, correct?
Yeah, hopefully everything will come together. We'll be able to run that race. Nothing's 110% in stone, but we're working on some stuff, and hopefully everything will work out. We'll be back down there.
Well, I know you're busy, and I appreciate you taking just a few minutes. I hope to see you at the Snowball Derby, but I don't blame you if you stay at home with the wife and kick it for a little bit, because you've definitely earned it. Next year, what's your plans in about 10 to 15 seconds?
Next year, we're still working on some stuff.
Sure.
Don't know 100%, but hopefully everything will work out to where we'll get to race a little bit and keep Kale Gale in the seat and see what happens.
Kale, God bless you, my friend. Thank you for checking in. All the fans were really looking forward to saying hello to you. So anything you want to tell your Mobile fans real quick?
Thanks for all the support through the years, and I hope you enjoyed 2012 season.
Full Throttle Racing with Kane. Email us at fullthrottleracingwithkane@yahoo.com. And we may have you and your race team on the air. Join us again next Saturday morning from 8 to 9 a.m. for another hour of local and national racing news on Full Throttle Racing with Kane on FM Talk 106.5.